This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And Melanie.
And we are at the home of our friends in the beautiful hills of Western North Carolina, the home of Philip and Carol Sue Pretty. And today we're going to be talking about developing an entrepreneurial spirit in your kids.
That's right. We're talking about kids in business. Mm-hmm. That's something I've really had a heart for. You know, when I grew up in an entrepreneurial family, mm-hmm. but I was a little afraid you wanted to be an entrepreneur, Hal.
Right, because you wanted the security.
I wanted the security. That... You know, my parents worked so many hours, and it was stressful. And then I found out when you worked in the corporate world that you worked so many hours, and it was stressful, only we didn't know when their business was failing until they told us your job was over.
Yeah, that security is kind of an illusion.
Hey, at least if we work for ourselves, we know when the business is failing.
Yeah, we do, don't we? So, at any rate, we have found ourselves on an entrepreneurial track late in our lives here. And we've tried to train this into our young people as they've become more mature. But wanted to talk with Carol Sue and with Philip because they are doing some really neat things training their kids and wanted to share some of their ideas on this whole thing. You know, it's really important these days because with the changes in our culture and the changes in our economy, I think Christians in particular need to have several strings to their bow. They need to be free from this concept that all of their support is going to come from some corporation, but rather their support comes from God, and the work that they do to bring that support in is going to take different forms at different times in their lives.
That's such an important thing for our kids to understand because, you know, not only the economy means that no job is as secure as it used to be. Mm-hmm. You get your hours cut, you can get your pay cut, you can lose your job. But also in the corporate culture, it's becoming harder and harder to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, people are being required to administer training that violates biblical values. Mm-hmm. You know, they're being asked to say things that they can't say as believers and to keep their faith at home. Mm-hmm. But a real Christian can't do that. We're Christians 24/7. And so I think it's important that our children be prepared to strike out on their own, either from the beginning or whenever it seems appropriate in their lives.
Right. So, we want to welcome to the program Carol Sue and Philip Pretty. Hello, folks.
Welcome, guys.
Good. Hey, thanks How for having us.
You know, you told us several years ago, Carol Sue, mm-hmm. that you have a special program for your children, some requirements you place on your children. Can you tell us a little bit about that, about how you push them into entrepreneurship a little bit?
Yes. When our kids, when they were preparing for their 8th birthday, we wanted to sit down and have a discussion with them about something that they were interested in and would like to do to make money. It was, in the beginning, just very basic. Our daughter's our oldest, and when she was 8 years old, she was interested in sewing. And we went and looked on Pinterest, of all things, and found some really cute ideas for making purses out of salvaged jeans. So we went to the Goodwill clearance center here, and you pay by the pound there. It's $1.10 a pound for whatever you buy.
Cool.
We found we could get kids' jeans for about 75 cents a pair. She cut the legs off of them, redesigned the bottom, like if you were making short shorts, and so that she could sew just a straight line across, bought belts from the clearance center and made the straps for the purses, and she had an investment total of about $1.10 in each purse and sold them for $12 at different vendor locations. So prior to her actually doing the work, we sat down together and came up with a cost list of what it was going to cost to make the purses. We included...
So you were basically doing a business plan with her.
We did a business plan. I went to this... I teach at a local college. I teach in the business department there. I've been working with adults developing business plans for 17 years. And so I took the SCORE business plan that I use with adults, with my students, which is at SCORE.org, which is a Senior Corps of Retired Executives. They've got an awesome business plan outline. And just made it for children. I just took what they have and just kind of not dumbed it down, but simplified it. And we looked at production costs, investment into the materials and raw materials, time investment, the machinery that we would need, which would be a sewing machine. And then once we had our product made, we had some prototypes made, we started going to vendors. Went to our local farmers market, to a local college, and to their bookstore, because it was, you know, a hobo bag like college students really love, and had my daughter, who was 8 years old, actually do the marketing. She had to meet with the vendors, tell them what her product was, give them a selling price, a price point where she would sell the product to them or consign it to them for a percentage, and found that selling the product to them and then them selling it for their markup was the most fair way of doing it. And we wrote contracts, and she had them sign contracts, and she signed her little 8-year-old name to the contracts, and committed to fulfill certain amounts, certain levels of product each month.
Now I just find that fascinating. You're doing this with an 8-year-old.
Yes.
This is you are treating this 8-year-old as a young business person, the same as if she was 28 and came to you at the community college with an idea. You didn't think that was a bit of a stretch?
I didn't think of it as being a stretch. Other people told me it was a stretch. But I've had the kids keep their profit and loss sheets, their costs for their materials, what they make on each item, their tithes, their savings, everything they have to keep. That was part of their math. They did research. They did meeting and greeting in the public. So unsocialized homeschool kids, it was really a stretch, but and networking, getting to know other folks who made and sold things at the local markets was really a great learning experience as well.
Oh, that's just great. I just love that idea. And you know, I think a lot of parents struggle with, what can a kid do that's marketable? But there's really quite a lot, isn't there? What kind of ideas have you heard of and you thought of that a kid can do?
When at 8 years old, we have them start a business. At 10 years old, they have to add a product line. And so her product line at 10 years old was, she took the legs from the jeans that she had cut off all those two years,
yep,
and made aprons, full, like bib to lower aprons, out of the pant legs. So there was no additional cost as far as investment, because she already had the legs here. And those things sold so fast, there was no way to even keep the
wow,
folks stocked with those. Yeah. Yeah. And then at 12, so eight years old, start the business, 10 year old product line addition, and then 12 years old, launch a new business. And so her second business launch was a baking company. We're gluten free because both of our kids have celiac. Mm-hmm. And so she's been baking gluten free since she was 8. And so,
well, I've got to interject here. We have eaten in the Pretty Home several times, and Sharla is a fantastic cook.
Yeah, she's quite the natural.
In fact, I've been begging her to start another business still and start doing some coaching.
Yeah,
because she is so good at it.
And that's her next step. She's because of your encouragement, she's writing a cookbook right now and writing her personal stories of what she's experienced and why she does what she does, and providing good food that people who are not gluten-free want more of. Not just to get by eating gluten-free.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point, and that's something that, you know, we've enjoyed being your guests here in your home, that you have to maintain this particular diet for family members, and yet it's good enough, it's delicious enough that you're not afraid to serve it to guests. You know, it's not a matter of, we have the special food for the special people.
Yeah, not afraid, honey. Their cornbread is the best in the South.
And their chili is fantastic. Oh, you sound like a commercial for their kitchen here. But honest to goodness, I think that's an important thing, because we know people who struggle with dietary issues. And so often, it seems like all the joy has gone out of their diet. And that's not true in this home. And so so we look forward to seeing that. Well, now, Philip, can you tell us a bit, what's your involvement been in this all along?
Well, all along I've been very supportive of this vision of preparing our children not only to be able to work, but to be creative, mm-hmm, to have the initiative to take an idea and develop it into a business. Took a big step about 2 years ago, year and a half, 2 years ago, and left my corporate job. that I'd worked in. I'd worked in that field for 15 years, and left that job and came home. And we embarked upon a ministry here in our home where we are homeschooling, in addition to our children, two additional special needs children that are autistic. Mm-hmm. We have been working with them for 6 years. For about 6 years. And then we added the second one when I came home, and have been working with him as well. And this has been an opportunity to involve our children directly into ministry with these two folks. And the young man that we are working with, that we homeschool, looks at Lance as his big brother, and
even though he's 4 years older,
right? And they fight battles and go on orc hunts and do all sorts of wonderful and great things together. But our children have learned through that the compassion, skills that are needed to work with special needs kids. And that has been an incredible benefit for our family, and has grown a sense of maturity within our children as well, to work with folks that operate in a different way than we do.
You know, I hear something important here, and I think I want to pull this out, that you recognize that your children are still children. I mean, they're still growing and maturing, and you have to deal with them on their level, and yet you're unafraid to bring them in and to expect them to interact with adult concerns and with a level of seriousness in adult endeavors. Just like, you know, Carol Sue, like you said, with the business plan, I'm sure that you probably simplified a few things along the way, you know, as appropriate for an 8-year-old entrepreneur, but yet to still say, this is how you run a business, whether it's, you know, an 8-year-old sewing project or General Motors, you have to go through these same basic steps, and you're not unafraid to say, I know you're 8 years old, but you can comprehend this, and I'm going to introduce it to you so that you're comfortable with it when one day you're going to stand on your own.
I wanted to bring up something from what Philip said here. I think one of the most valuable ways our children have learned entrepreneurship is working with us. Mm-hmm. You know, that as we, you know, we think of not having all the money that we want as a curse, but really it's been a blessing. Yeah. Because as we have not had the money to hire people to do things, we've had to do it ourselves. We've had to learn how. And, you know, the things our children have learned how to do to help our business and ministry, mm-hmm, have been things they've done for other people for pay, to help them pay for college. And, you know, even our oldest son is working now full time. He's out of college doing something he learned to do. He taught himself to do so that he could help us do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just think that working together as a family, having a family economy, as Kevin Swanson mentioned a couple weeks ago, is a tremendous learning lab for our kids. And, you know, somebody mentioned on Facebook this morning, I think it was our friend Rachel Carmenhale, mm-hmm, from Apologia, said the best way to teach your children in ministry is for them to watch you minister. And I would add, for them to minister at your side. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's what we love to do at these conferences. Our kids are running the booth. I had somebody show up at one of our sessions and say, I'm here. I'd plan to go to a different session right now, but I'm here because I was just talking to your son at your booth. And after talking to him, I'm interested in what you guys have
there
to say.
Go. That's right.
You know?
Right. You know, in parenting, we made the decision before we had children that we were not going to raise children. We were going to raise adults.
Absolutely.
And with that goal from the very start, we didn't, I mean, we loved them and we coddled them and nurtured them, but we've treated them as adults and expected them to do more than your typical 6, 7, 8-year-old.
Okay, now we got to talk about this more. So yeah, we're going to have to wait till after the station break, because you just hit a hot button with us. Because we did a workshop Thursday night at the conference we were speaking at in Nashville called Skipping Adolescence. And it's all about seeing our 13, 14, 15-year-old kids as adults in training. That's what we called our book, Raising Real Men.
Instead of raising boys,
mm-hmm, because this is really about what they're becoming, not what they are.
Well,
okay, we need to take a station break, Hal.
Well, you know, that's a good time to just segue clean into one of the new things that we are going to be offering coming up here in April. is a webinar series called Preflight. This is going to be for parents of teenagers, both boys and girls, young men and young women. It's meant to be that final checklist to run through as they're transitioning to adulthood to say, have I told them everything they need to know? Have they experienced everything they need to experience while we're here at home and can guide them?
Because it's time for them to get ready to take off.
Yeah.
And you know, we've been seeing some things that concern us in the homeschool movement with parents struggling with that transition to adulthood. This webinar series is meant to help. We'll meet once a week for 5 weeks live. It starts in April. Go to raisingrealmen.com/preflight. We're also starting a new class of Boot Camp 9 to 12, our most popular program.
Well, I tell you what, we just had a fantastic series of meetings in Kansas City, actually in Overland Park. Just last weekend, we did the Boot Camp 9 to 12 as a live event at a church
there. Oh, it was
there.
Awesome it seeing was their fantastic. Faces while we talked.
That's nice. Yeah. But you know, this is something we've done online for several years now, and it's running strong, and it's very helpful. If you've got a young man in those preteen years, I think you'll find it very helpful. So,
RaisingRealMen.com/bootcamp. Now, let's get back to this. We're talking about the idea of looking at our kids as adults in training and raising those expectations, not, I'm not going to love you unless you meet my expectations. You love them no matter what.
Right.
But say, you know, I believe you can do more than the world limits you to doing.
When Charlotte turned 13, she was not happy, and we noticed that she went to a really deep funk for about 2 weeks. And one day we were riding in the car, which is the greatest place to talk to children.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah, because they don't have to look at you.
Yeah.
Just
saying,
yeah.
It's great.
Yeah,
like
it really is.
Mama's counseling chamber.
Absolutely.
Dad's counseling chamber. Yeah.
So I said, okay, you need to tell me what's going on because, you know, something's obviously wrong. And she just broke down, and she said, I don't want to be a teenager.
Wow.
Teenagers are at angst and angst with their parents. They don't get along. There's always problems. There's rebellion, and I don't want to do that. What we have is too good.
Like, wow.
Okay, so let's get home and talk to Dad quick.
Yeah.
So
okay.
We came home and.
Well, we sat down with Charlotte and we told her just flat out, baby, you don't have to be a teenager, honey. You're an adult.
Yes.
And we're going to treat you as such. We set a goal, we set a goal with her when she was young, you know, at eight years old, starting a business. Wow, that was great. But also, she wanted to be able to run a household.
By
so
the
we
time
said,
she was 13, this was at 10
right.
years old. Yeah.
And we said, okay, that's fine. So she took over responsibilities like the laundry. She took over, you know, different responsibilities. She finally took over the kitchen and... Her mom does very little cooking now.
I do. Maybe like two meals a week.
Wow.
And when she was, by the time she was 11, she approached Carol Sue
and said, it's okay if you die now. I can take care of everything here.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's awesome.
Remember, I'll love you when you're gone,
right?
Mama.
back when we came home and we told Philip about she's not wanting to be a teenager, Philip pulled the Bible out and said, you know what? There's nothing in here about teenagers.
That's right.
Right.
There's
Amen.
Nothing here.
Right.
You're an adult. We're going to treat you like an adult, but we expect you to be. And that has been the smoothest transition. So now we're looking at our son Lance will be 13 this year. Mm-hmm. And we have, instead of approaching this 13th birthday as a teenage birthday, it's an adult birthday.
Right.
And you are he's had the responsibilities added to him through the years like Charlotte has, but this birthday coming up is his adult birthday.
Well, you know, we do the same thing. In fact, we have a ceremony and an event when they turn 13
right.
to mark that transition into adulthood for them, but also for the world around them.
Yeah. To really make a public announcement out of it.
Yeah.
And say, okay, we as your parents are going to treat you differently, and we expect our friends in the church, we expect our extended family, we want everybody to recognize you are not a child in our eyes. You know,
yes.
you're an adult. You're a man in training. You know, it's not something like you're 13. Let's get married and buy a house and go. But rather to say, okay, we consider you to be a young man who's still in that period of training, but a young man nevertheless. And that's the change in expectation.
Now, can you? I'm dying to know what businesses did Lance have? Tell us about that.
Okay, so when we started with Lance, at first we talked about vermiculture, which is raising worms.
What a great job for a boy. Yeah.
And so we found out that we needed to have the best thing for worms to grow in is chicken poop. So you clean out a chicken pen and then you, right. But when we got the chickens, he found his niche. He loves his chickens, and they're just like our grandchickens. they are treasured members of the yard family. It has taught him not only responsibility, but we had a dog come in and kill 6 of our hens at one time when Sunday we came home from church. It's taught him loss. It's taught him protection, how to protect. Phillip's worked with him on building a fortress in the backyard. So he has sold eggs, and yes, he has, he chicken sits. So when, you know, Fred and Ethel are going out of town and they've got a small flock, they can bring that small flock here. He's got a separate coop for them, a separate pen for them, and he chicken sits and makes good money at it. But it's taught him more in the responsibility and really life lessons, I would say, than even, I can't imagine anything else that he could have done that could have learned the life lessons that he's learned with that.
Cool.
That is neat. You know, I think the way that you started with one idea, we're going to raise worms, and the chickens are an input to the worm farm.
Right.
When you suddenly find, no, the chickens are the thing and the worms are the byproduct of the chickens.
Right.
You know, I think that keys into something that, Philip, you and I were talking about earlier, that so many people take this entrepreneurial idea for the family, and they think, we have to find one thing that will support everything this family needs to do.
But instead, it seems like it's more we do a bunch of different things. You know, our family does a ton of different things.
Right.
You know, what has been your experience with that? Have y'all found that too, that you have to kind of piece things together and do a bunch of different things?
Oh, absolutely. You know, from the time that I've come home and been here, we have experimented, and we tried different angles on the businesses that we've gone into. Some have worked, some have failed spectacularly, but
waste of time.
But nonetheless, we venture out, and it teaches the courage to step out, to do what you're not sure about.
Take a risk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To put yourself out there, to try something knowing that it could possibly fail, but it could possibly succeed as well. And to do that in the environment of a family, as with your children, it's safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If your child's business goes bankrupt, you're not out on the street.
Right.
Your child experiences that, and yes, it's a failure, but they deal with it.
And we think it's very important for them to experience failure while they're in your home.
Oh. Yes.
Because while you can help them and pick them up,
it's also
keep going.
For them to see us fail. They need to see me fail,
yes,
and recover,
yes,
and not take it personally.
Well, because there's going to be failures in life, and I think that kids that go through life without having that failure, that they're protected from failure, they're going to hit failure sooner or later, and it flattens them.
Right.
You know,
well, and
if they haven't experienced it before and seen it, you can get right up from failure.
Right.
Yeah, and when, you know, I think about that mother that came up to you at a conference we were in Canada, dear. That,
oh, yes, I remember.
That she said, I like the idea of my son starting a business, but I'm afraid he'll fail. And you pointed out to her, well, if he fails, what did he do? He lost his allowance for a few months.
Big deal.
You know,
what better time to fail in business when somebody else is paying the rent and buying the groceries?
Yeah, and when there's,
you know?
And when there's nobody else depending on it. But I think, too, that this idea that we can put together our family support from a bunch of different sources is like diversifying your portfolio.
Well, it's a lifesaver right now,
you
because
know?
If one thing fails, you're not bereft.
Right.
You know, and entrepreneurship with children can look a bunch of different ways. It can be doing crafty things like your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It can be livestock like your son. Our boys, when they were 17, 15, and 13, actually bought a company from another homeschool family, grainoftruthbreadcompany.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell grain mills on the internet, and it's perfect because we travel 6 to 9 months out of the year speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And we take our children with us because I'm not going to lose my kids teaching other people how to raise theirs. Forget that.
So, yeah, so chicken ranching is not a good option.
Yeah, that's
for
not
going to
work
no.
for us. We,
oh,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we,
the van
now
is
listen,
not that big.
One of them has been trying to talk us into getting a Raptor. He says, Mom, I can keep it in the van with me.
A
I'm
raptor?
Just. Yes, I'm just not seeing
he
this.
He wants to be a falcon.
Yeah, he wants to be a falcon. I'm just not seeing this.
When you got your own apartment.
Fly behind.
Right. But, you know, the,
but the, point being,
the grain mill business works great because they can drop ship from wherever we are. Mm-hmm. And they've done very well with it. And they've learned so much. They've learned how to deal with angry customers when you've made a mistake. How do you deal with an angry customer when they've made a mistake? Mm-hmm. How do you deal with someone who tries to cheat you and steal from you?
Yeah.
You know, how do you handle all these things in a godly way? How do you deal with a bad vendor? You know, all these things. And I just think, I was hesitant to let them do it because I thought, oh, it's going to be a lot of extra work. We don't need any extra work. But they have learned so much from it. And it's been exciting to me to see all of our adult children, and they have a lot more faith in God than I did at that age. They've learned to trust His sovereignty.
Probably because of what y'all do every month in your business and your family life. They've seen you trust in God's sovereignty and in His provision. My mom told me, mom and dad, when we were growing up, had great parents. But we would ask dad or mom to do something, and mom would say, "Help me say yes."
Oh, I like that.
And we need to not say no to our kids' ideas as much as possible. We can help them say yes.
You are singing my song. See, Hal is a visionary. And I so did not get that for so many years. And I am so practical. I'm the person that someone suggests something, and I can look 10 years down the road and see what the issues are. And so Hal would suggest things, and I would panic. Don't you see? It's got this problem, that problem, this problem. Wham! Slap it down. And someone finally told me he was a visionary. Thank you. And when I realized that he needed to be able to brainstorm and me help him think through those ideas without stomping him down, now we're serial entrepreneurs.
There you go.
You know, and we're loving it.
Right.
We make half as much, have twice as much fun.
Yeah. You know? And have your kids with you.
Yes.
What a big deal that is. You know, Philip is one of the pastor elders at our church, and he has, being not in the corporate world but working from home, has the time to devote to studying and preparing for sermons on Sunday. We have time as a family to travel. We take the special needs kids that we work with, and we field trip everywhere. We've seen how refrigeration units for medical supplies are made. We've seen, you know, we go everywhere and take the kids to see how things are made, what's done, where things come from. Really encourage that for folks to get their kids out and visit a leather shop, a knife maker, a gunsmith. You know, find out how things are done. Develop apprenticeships for your folks, for your young people to learn how.
Expose them to the real world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Imagine that. Yeah. Now we homeschool the autistic kids at home. The kids have their own business. We also do job placement for Christian schools across America, and job placement in turnaround schools, which are the lowest 5% performing public schools in America as well. As and those are things we do. Schoolgrowth.com
cool.
is working with private schools.
Right.
Let's see what else. Yabwe yes. Labs, yabwe.com.
Ooh, spell that for me.
Yabwi. Yeah, all right, but what if?
Okay.
Yeah, and it's helping students and adults find their unique genius, what God has created them to be passionate for, not just to do.
What a great place to end. Finding what God has created you to do. You know, we were standing there speaking this weekend. I was watching you, and I thought, you know, this is so what God made you to do.
Yeah, and there are so many things that we can learn to do, and God will bring those threads together at different times.
Yes.
And yet, finding that niche is something. Sometimes it takes years, and I think a plan like Carol, Sue, and Philip have put in place with their kids is a way to get that whole process jump started. So maybe instead of, you know, finding your niche as a midlife crisis in your 40s, instead maybe they'll launch out in their mid 20s and be able to run with this early in life. Great stuff. Look, I want to thank you both, Philip, Carol, Sue, your gracious hosts and visionary parents, and we really respect what you're doing. So thank you so much.
Thank you for joining
us. Absolutely. Really, really great.
This has been Making Biblical Family Life Practical with
Hal
and Melanie Young.
Yes, we want to encourage you too. If you are listening to this soon at the time that we broadcast it, we are going to be in a couple of events maybe in your area, Spokane Valley, Washington, next weekend, the weekend of March 29th. We're going to be speaking there with the Christian Home Educators of Spokane Valley. We're also going to be at Teach Them Diligently in Spartanburg, South Carolina, first weekend in April. So we hope we can see some of you there. Please come up and tell us if you listen so we can actually see the people in our audience.
Yes, we got to meet some listeners last weekend in Nashville. And as always, if you want to hear us speak in your area, how about let us know? And you can contact us, find out more about us at helenmelanie.com. And read our blog and see our store at RaisingRealMen.com. Thank you so much. Right. See you next week, folks.
Right. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at HalandMelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.